as you rise, and you know the goal to every ball there.
Outstanding game, 2 points over,
good day at the office there, you know, she popped up with a very much needed point, which Kenny really needs it.
This is Come On Kind with Martin Quilty and Anya Fahey.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again into the Come On Kind podcast here from the KCLR studios in Kilkenny with myself, Martin Quilty. And I am joined, as always, by my wonderful colleague and co-conspirator, or what would they put us? Partner in crime? Is that what we're nearly classed as now? Miss Anya Farrell. How are you, Anya?
I'm good, thanks, Martin. How are you?
I am not too bad at all. This is episode 10 of season 6. We are flying through it. We're already in April and things are progressing along nicely in the inter-county scene. But we did have matches last weekend. It was the last round of the very camogie League Division 1A game where Waterford took on Kilkenny, and it was a good victory for Kilkenny coming away in the end. 2-10-13 victors down in the SCTU arena in Waterford. And joining me on the line right now is the Kilkenny senior manager, Mr. Peter Chap. Clear Chap, how are you this evening?
How are you, Martin?
Choking myself here. Sorry. All good. Yes, thank you very much. As I said in the intro there, Chap, you probably heard it. Good win for yourselves on Saturday, last round of the league. Nice to get a bit of momentum now going in for the couple of weeks break before the Leinster Championship starts. You've had a bit of time to reflect. Let's go back to Saturday. Your thoughts on the match, first of all.
Yeah, it was a really good game, first of all. It was a very physical encounter. Very tough conditions for both teams. The pitch was very, very soft, and there was a really, really strong breeze as well. But I thought our girls, the Kilkenny girls, worked really, really hard. Absolutely fantastic work rate from forwards the whole way back to the backs. It really was a huge team effort. So we're delighted that the intensity was there, that the pace was up. We were very disappointed with our performances, second half performance, I suppose, against Galway and Tipperary. So really happy that for the full 60 minutes, the girls just left everything out on the pitch. And look, it was a really good result for us. And it gives us a nice little bit of momentum now going into the Leinster Championship.
You made 5 changes before the start or the throw-in of the game on Saturday in Waterford. I'm not going to ask you your thinking behind them, but they obviously did make a difference, in particular a couple of the players that had been left off for last week's game against Tipperary.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, we've been consistent in that throughout the league, and I've said it from day one that we were going to use the league as an opportunity to give girls a chance to test themselves at this level. I think we used 29 or 30 girls got game time over the course of the league. We would have liked to get more game time into some of the girls, but the league is so competitive. You've got 5 games in 7 weeks, so it really is really intense matches one after the other. So it was great to get so much game time into so many girls, but equally it was great to see girls, for example, the weekend there, Laura Green and Kira Phelan hadn't got a mass amount of game time up to Saturday, but they both had fantastic performances on Saturday. So it's really good for us to know that our squad are working really hard, that we've built a really strong panel, and as I said, we're excited about where we can go going into the Leinster campaign.
It certainly is. I suppose the overall league itself, what have you made of it?
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, from our perspective, from a Kilkenny management in the back room, we've learned an incredible amount, not just about ourselves as a management team, but also about our players, but actually also about our opposition as well. You know, I mean, it was the first time for a lot of our back room to see the Galways and the Tipperaries and the Corks up close and personal. So we've taken a huge amount of learnings out of it. You can watch all the videos and former games you like, but it's only when you go up, on the side and against these teams, you really see, tactically how to set up and all that sort of stuff. So we've learned a huge amount about ourselves, about our squad, and about our opposition. And as I said, yeah, we'll be banking and parking all that. But the girls have a break now this week, Martin. They're going to come back now next Tuesday night, and we'll be gearing things up big time for the championship.
I suppose when you look at the league, though, as well, you're going to get a break from a lot of those teams as well, all the Munster teams, Galway. You're now focusing on the Leinster Championship, so you're going to have the likes of Wexford, which you haven't played yet, your Dublins, which have been in a different group as well. So different dynamic for the Leinster group, and it's always been a good building block, I suppose, and good momentum builder going into the All-Ireland series as well. I suppose on a negative end of things, you are getting players back from injury, but unfortunately, there was more injury after the match last weekend as well. Any update on, in particular, Julianne?
Yeah, a couple of injuries. Julianne got a, put her body on the line on Saturday, where a lot of people wouldn't have. She's an incredibly brave player. Unfortunately, she picked up a little injury, so she'll be sidelined for a couple of quick weeks. Or we're monitoring that as we speak. But hopefully, the next couple of weeks we'll get Julianne back on the pitch. A few other niggles and knocks, but hopefully, the rest of over the 10 days, I suppose, from the Waterford match to get back together, will give girls a chance to kind of recover. They've done a nice little bit of strength and condition work as well, Martin, even throughout the league. I mean, our girls did a lot of work on the S&C side, so there's a couple of occasions, a couple of games where we might have come across a bit leggy, but they did a huge amount of work, so they really need this break and this rest. And then they're supposed to build it back up again, then we get to next Tuesday. But look, we've had injuries the whole way throughout the league. We're going to have injuries through Leinster, we're going to have injuries through the All-Ireland series. The game's just come so thick and fast. I mean, if we're fortunate enough to get to a Leinster final, your All-Ireland series campaign comes straight away afterwards, so you could be looking at the possibility of 9 games in 10 weeks. So it's a massive load on any player to have to go and play 9 games in 10 weeks, but that's potentially what we're facing. So we need to make sure, number one, we have a really big panel, and number two, that we're minding girls and that we're not overloading them too much, and that, you know, when the opportunity to get a little bit of a rest is there, that we give it to them as well, you know.
Chap, talking about your panel and having big panels, you've certainly used a large number of players during the league, so you've got to see a lot of girls and given them a lot of game time as well, which is fabulous for the players, but it also gives you, I suppose, an insight to where you're going to be starting your best team coming into what is now going to be the busy end of the year. I suppose, like you say, with that amount of matches coming, you have 3 Leinster games coming up. The quarter final is against Westmeath on the 4th of May. That's at home. I suppose the good thing for yourselves this year is there's not much travelling involved, because if you come out of the Westmeath game, then you also have a home game against Wexford in the semi-final the following week on the 11th of May, and then the finals are the following week after that as well. So that's 3 hectic weekends, especially when it comes to the Leinster Championship in May. But at least you have a bit of a build-up now to prepare for them.
Yeah, we've a nice bit of build-up. We've plenty of time to focus on a few things tactically, I suppose. Also, you know, we'll absolutely endeavour to get a couple of challenging matches in as well over the next couple of weeks too, in order to go into the Leinster campaign a little bit cold, but the girls did need a little bit of a break, so we'll get that. We'll get back to a bit of training and then maybe get 1 or 2 challenging matches prior to the Leinster campaign. And as I said to you, there's 3 games in a row, but you know, if we're fortunate enough to get to a Leinster final, the first round of the All-Ireland series is the weekend after, so as I said to you, there's not really much break once we get going in May. There's not really much of a break, once the All-Ireland series starts. But look, that's what we want. You know, we've a nice bit of work done in terms of on the S&C side. We had a mixed league. You know, there were some really good performances in there, some really good individual and collective performances, and then there was a couple of times when we were a little bit disappointed in terms of the standards that we set for ourselves. So we've taken huge learnings out of that, but ultimately the goal is the 11th of August in Croke Park. That's where we want to be, and you know, that's where everybody wants to be, but that's where we especially want to be, so we're working towards that.
I suppose the league in itself was a good point and a good learning curve for yourselves. Like you say, if you weren't going to be in the league final, it was important obviously to stay in the Division 1 for next year coming. You said it to me after the pre-match interview on Saturday down in Waterford as well, that the first game that you played in, you played well, didn't get the result, played well against Clare. The next 2 games then, bit of a lull, didn't play that well, but you did finish very, very strong, which shows, and the character has never been questioned in this group of players or as individuals themselves, but for them to get that final win on Saturday going in will certainly do their confidence the world of good now going forward.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, I suppose our character probably was questioned, really, in fairness, because I suppose we did have 2 disappointing second half displays. Not first half now, not the first half against Galway and against Tipperary. We were very much in the game. It's just both teams got a run of it in the second half, and I suppose we would have felt that our character was questioned. We would have felt that, you know, we didn't play as well as we could or as well as we should have. So, in fairness to the girls, I thought on Saturday, never mind the results, but the actual attitude and the application and the commitment and the enthusiasm and the passion that the girl showed was fantastic, and that's exactly where we want to get on a more consistent basis. So when we bring that energy and when we bring that work rate, we're a very, very difficult team to beat. And I suppose we're just going to be focusing on that from here on in, that every time, you know, whatever 15 girls or 5 or 6 or 7 subs that come in, there's a squad that we just bring that intensity, we bring that ferocious work rate, and we never dip below that. And as I said to you, when we did that in Saturday, it mightn't have been the prettiest game, but you know, I felt if you look at the rucks and the turnovers, I mean, we would have won both of those battles against Waterford, which was very pleasing, you know.
In fairness, it was a very good game to look. I mean, even from ourselves sitting up in the stand, I mean, you're dead right. The passion was there. The commitment was there. I have to say, I was very impressed. And I did say it to you afterwards as well. All of the Kilkenny players, their handling of the ball was sharp. It was crisp. It was going straight into the hand on what was. And it has all the pitches around are actually very damp and wet and sticky at the minute. But our passing was very crisp on Saturday, which was good to see.
Yeah, girls played really well. They played down the channels very well. And look, at City, one thing we've learned as a management team as well is that nearly every Camogie team now you come up against plays a sweeper. And I suppose we've had to adjust and adapt our game plan to try and nullify that and try and get the most out of that. And you know, we're working on that. It's an ongoing process. It's not solid in any stretch of the imagination, but certainly we're improving as a group, and I suppose we're watching the opposition, but we're really focusing on ourselves as well and making sure we're getting the most out of ourselves. But yeah, there were times on Saturday I thought we got some brilliant scores, really clinical, you know, some brilliant turnovers. I think Neil Deeney had 5 or 6 turnovers in the match. You know, that's outstanding, you know, from a centre-back to turn over the opposition that many times. And, you know, so there's loads of individual examples of great work, great and turnovers and blocks and hooks and all that sort of stuff. So that's really, really pleasing. But look, as you said, we're in April now and the ground is still as soft as it was, let's say, last January. It's probably softer now than it was in January. So that ground will harden up. And when it does, it's going to be a completely different game in 6 or 8 weeks' time when the ground hardens and the ball is whizzing around a bit quicker. So, you know, we're trying to make sure we're ready for that as well.
Chap, I'm not going to ask you to compare like for like, but I mean, you were with Carlo last year, you got to the league final, winning the league final as well. Championship didn't go, I suppose, as well as you would have hoped, but you were in what I would nearly class as a group of death, and we can see the Derry are flying as well in the division that they're in this year. But how have you felt the change coming from that, I suppose, form of matches with Carlo playing the likes of Armagh, that's coming to now taking on the Galways, the Tipperary's, and that for yourselves? How have you found the transition?
Yeah, sure, the transition is fine. I suppose last year the goal was a little bit different because I suppose for Carlo, you know, coming from the previous year, Martin, Carlo had only won one match in the calendar year of 2022. So it was really, really important to that Carlo group that we had a really successful lead because it was our best chance of silverware, really. And the girls really bought into that. We had a fantastic league and obviously got the Leinster final as well and retained into bigger status. So, I mean,
Chap, sorry, not to be cutting across you there. Can you just make sure that your phone is just up a small bit closer good man?
No, I was just saying that. So last year, obviously, you know, the one of the primary focus for ourselves in Carlo last year was to get to a league final and win that league final. You know, coming on the back of a disappointing campaign in 2022. So I mean, from a Carlo perspective, it's a little bit different. Whereas with Kilkenny, absolutely, the league was really important, and you know, we did want to get to a league final. But I suppose we lost our first match to Cork. It was always going to be very, very difficult from there. So we were trying to balance our ambition of getting to a league final with also the fact that we had to get games into different girls that were coming up into the squad for the first time and coming back into the squad. So it was more of a balancing act in terms of getting game time, testing girls at this level, and obviously preparing ourselves for championship, because the ultimate goal with Kilkenny is to win the All-Ireland. That's you know, make no bones about it, that's what we want to do. But it was a little bit of a different approach to the league this year on the Kilkenny side.
And I suppose good news for Carlo as well, as their game against Cavan at the weekend kept them up into the Division 2A as well, which is vitally important for themselves to be playing at the higher grade.
Absolutely, I was delighted for Carlo. I mean, I love my time in Carlo. Some brilliant, brilliant players over there. And you have to remember, like, the pick in Carlo is so small, but the drive and the ambition and the hunger that those players have is fantastic. And even the executive, you know, Linda Kenny is an unbelievable martyr for Camogie and Carlo, and she's so passionate about it. She's infectious, and all the executives. So to be fair to Carlo, I was so happy when I saw the result that they beat Cavan at the weekend. So you know, they can settle now. They're in the division again for next next year. They'll come on a ton for the year that's there. There's some brilliant players there, like Kate Nolan and Eleanor Trace, and all those girls are fantastic players. So, you know, they have a lot of good young girls coming through as well. So, Carlo will be in a very strong place next year with a lot of those girls coming up, and the stability they'll have had from you know, it's very difficult to get promoted, but once you're up, it can be every bit as difficult to stay up. So, it's a huge achievement for Carlo to stay in that division. Hopefully, they can drive on from here now going into next year.
It certainly is. Well, I know Mike Condell there as well will be absolutely delighted with it, and I better mention her, because if not, she'll come after me with a stick the next day that I see her, and I don't fancy Mike Condell coming after me with a stick, I can tell you. Chap, thanks a million as always. You've been a breath of fresh air and an absolute pleasure, because no matter when we've asked you to come on, even in the bad results, you still have done it as well, and we thank you so much for that. We look forward now to a little bit of a break with yourselves as you prepare for the Leinster Championship, and we'll be back in full then following your journey through that and the All-Ireland Series. But for the time being, enjoy the rest of your training camps that's coming up. Thank you so much for your time, and we will chat to you again soon.
Thanks, Martin. We'll see you in about 4 or 5 weeks. Commence out.
Pleasure. Good man, that was Peter Chapclear there having a chat with us. And I have to say, I mean, Anya, it has been a breath of fresh air, because in fairness to him, no matter when we asked him to come on, do an interview, I mean, he's given his time and the whole lot. It's rare that you get that so open from a manager, and he has been so honest as well with us, which is great to see. But the performance, you were with me on Saturday in the SETU Arena, it really was like the Cork game, even probably a step up from it, because it was a great overall performance.
Yeah, it really was. It was an excellent performance by Kilkenny on the day, and I think, you know, I think the girls definitely knew that this was the last round of the league, and I suppose they wanted to go out with a bang. And, you know, regardless of whether a win, loss or a draw, they knew that they weren't going to qualify, but I suppose for momentum and for confidence building, they knew that they had to get in a really good performance and come out with a really good result. And listen, Waterford are an excellent team. They were All-Ireland finalists last year. You know, they've had a really, really good run in the league as well. But I think Kilkenny certainly showed that they really are back in top action, and I suppose particularly after the Tipperary game the week previous, I suppose they really wanted to make amends for that, and there were some really, really good performances. Ciara Phelan probably getting her first start of the year, I thought she played very, very well. Laura Norris at wing back did very well. Aoife Doyle, for me, I think was certainly the standout player of the game. Caoimhe Kerr Murta coming off the bench there for Julianne Malone, banging in 2 goals, you know, something really exciting and a really good prospect we have, and, you know, a player who's so young as well. You know, we had some really, really good performances. Steffi Fitz continued on her good form that she has throughout the whole league. So certainly a load of positives to be taken from that game, and great to see a lot of girls getting a good run out and, you know, getting game time under them, and, you know, looking forward to a Leinster Championship now in, 5 weeks' time?
I suppose we have the joy of waiting for Grace Welch to be coming back, Miriam Welch to be coming back as well. They're long-term injuries at the minute, but they are on the road to recovery. I suppose, as we were talking to Chap there earlier on, you heard it as well, the bad news was Julianne had to come off in the first half injured with some sort of an arm or shoulder injury. We don't know how serious that is at the minute. We do know that she's waiting for a scan to get done on it, but if she was to be out for a number of weeks, she is going to be a big loss.
Yeah, she certainly is going to be a big loss if she is going to be missing. But listen, hopefully, you know, Julianne will be so disciplined that she'll be trying her hardest now to get back for the Leinster Championship. And listen, if not, she'll be aiming to get back for an All-Ireland Championship. And, you know, very lucky in the fact that she's one of the leaders on the team, so she knows exactly what it takes to come back like this. And, you know, huge loss at the moment, but I certainly think she will be back in flying form. And I think her leadership, you know, even if she's not training with girls, I think her leadership off the field is going to be just as important as it is on the field. So, you know, hoping that it's nothing too serious, and hopefully we'll get Julianne back in flying form, if not for the Leinster Championship, hopefully for an All-Ireland Championship.
Yeah, 2-10. I have to say I was probably a little bit disappointed with Waterford, because going down, I have to say I may have been a little bit fearful of, I won't say the performances that we've had against Galway and Tipperary, but Tipperary certainly were at a different level last week when we played them. Waterford had been flying. They only lost to Galway by a point, but Kilkenny really did up their game for that, and it was a good victory. The other results coming out of that, I suppose, then we know who is going to play in the Division 1 final, because Galway beat Cork 14-9, and Clare losing out to Tipperary 419-7, which does mean Aberdeen, that Tipperary end up on top of the table after five games with 12 points, four wins, and Galway is going to join them as well on 12 points as well, because they have the same record. And it's going to be an intriguing battle, because it's a long time since Tipperary was in a league final.
Yeah, I think 14 years or something.
Yeah, they didn't get the 2020, sure,
no,
because
sure,
COVID hit.
Whatever,
yeah.
Yeah, this is a huge opportunity, I think, for Tipperary. And I think, to be fair, anybody looking at the league this year would certainly have will be looking at Tipperary, saying that they definitely are the dark horses. They've allotted some really good youthful players gone in there. And you take it, the fact that, you know, Cate Van, will she, won't she be making an appearance? I know she was getting married and she was obviously taking time out. But, you know, like, if she's a name that has to come back into it, that's really going to add a boost to the Tipperary outfit. But I think Tipperary have been just getting, they've been going about their business so well. Their work rate has been unbelievable. And, you know, they're going to be relishing an opportunity to get back and play in Croke Park. And what an opportunity for them in a Division 1A league final.
Yeah, well, it certainly will be intriguing, I suppose, for Galway as well. The fact that they now have Niamh Mallon on their books for them, you know.
And Niamh Kilkenny back as well.
Niamh Kilkenny is back. So it's going to be an interesting start to the championship. Obviously, they're going to be looking for as many competitive matches as they can get, because there's no championship for them. So they're not out now until the end of May, when the All-Ireland series will start.
Yeah.
But for Galway and Tipperary, it certainly does look like it's going to be an intriguing final talk. Talking about intriguing finals as well, the two neighbours in Leinster is Wexford and Dublin. They're going to partake in the 1B final. Now, we're going to preview all of these next week as well, but they will be taking part in it. But they did play the weekend, with Kerry and Down playing out a 14 points each draw. By the way, I should say, in Division 1A, Clare are going to be relegated out of that group. And unfortunately for Kerry, it means that Kerry is going to go down now by virtue of a worse score difference to Down, and Down is going to stay in Division 1B. The other results from the weekend coming out of that game was Limerick 3-11, Wexford 1-15, which I make that 20 points to 18, I think. So a 2-point victory there for Limerick. They finished the league well, but Dublin 16 points to 9 winners against Antrim, which means that Wexford and Dublin are going to be playing in the league final, a bit like Tipperary and Galway, both ending up with 12 points here, only losing one game. So it's looking like the Leinster teams are performing well in Division 1B.
Yeah, they certainly are. And I suppose if you're looking at the Wexford outfit the last couple of weeks, like, they certainly have been throwing up some, you know, serious scores, as have Dublin. And I suppose for both Wexford and Dublin, they're going to want to set a standard for themselves going into the All-Ireland Championship, and for either of these teams to get to the final, that would probably be their first goal. And I suppose to win now this league final, the confidence alone that would bring them heading into a Leinster campaign and an All-Ireland stage would be absolutely phenomenal for both of them. And I suppose Wexford, they're there knocking about now, they'll really want to push themselves on, because they'll be really setting their sights on an O'Duffy challenge this year as well.
They certainly will. I'm just doing the maths here quickly. Wexford are on a plus 90 scoring difference out of their league, 139 points for, 49 against, and Dublin with a plus 43 score difference. I mean, you're looking at nearly a 50 point difference in scoring differences there between Wexford and Dublin. I'm not going to ask you to predict who's going to win this yet, because, as I said, we will be previewing these games coming up next week. But the other news, I suppose, as we were talking to Chap Clear there earlier in the Division 2A, Westmeath and Derry is going to be playing in the league final. We're going to talk about that in a moment's time, but Carlow will stay in Division 2A after a 4-11-2-10 victory over Cavanagh Network Training Centre in Fenna on Saturday, and that is great news for Carlow, and well done to them, because they've had their trials and tribulations there over the last number of weeks, but that is a great result for them, Áine.
Yeah, really, really good result. I suppose keeping their head over water and staying in Division 2A, it's going to be a huge factor for them when they go on the hunt for their All-Ireland series as well. And I think really, really important for them to remain. And as Chap said, it's, you know, it's just as hard to come up as it is to, and it's just as easy to come down. So that's really, really important for Carlow, and it's delighted to see them now that they will be still playing in Division 2A next year. And, you know, they're going to gain some players back from this year, and, you know, all they can do is just keep pushing on and, you know, keep progressing the game in Carlow.
Yep, well, it's certainly good news for them because it gives them a bit of momentum going into the Leinster Intermediate Championship. Meath, awfully started very well in it and kind of weaned off a small little bit. Meath having a very good victory in their game against them, 2-14 to 5 points, which means that Offaly finished mid-table behind Meath. Westmeath and Derry, though, at the top of the table. I suppose when you look at it, I mean, Westmeath is at home to Derry. Derry has been flying. Derry is already there.
Yeah.
Did they play a second string team against Westmeath? We don't know, because a 4-goal, 12-point victory for Westmeath over the All-Ireland champions would certainly suggest that Derry had one eye on the prize here of getting promotion up to Division 1A and winning the 1B title.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think, listen, I suppose there probably was a lot of shadow boxing going on, maybe potentially in that game. And I suppose for Derry, like, you know, they're last year's All-Ireland Intermediate Champions, and they are going to be kind of using these games as a really kind of, you know, the competitive edge hitting, because they know when they hit into the championship, they are going to be coming up against the big dogs at senior level. You know, Derry Westmeath, you'd have definitely fancied Derry at the start of the year in Division 2A. Westmeath, you know, finishing top of the group there, certainly have done really well. I think Offaly will be probably a little bit disappointed with their form there, that, you know, 5 games, 2 wins, 3 losses. And Meath as well, I think they'll be probably a little bit disappointed too with their form in the league. But I suppose, listen, it is early in the season, you know, for a lot of these teams, they're kind of just looking at these games to get out, you know, some new players, get game time into girls. But I think
the draw with Westmeath was the straw that broke Meath's back, because they had the chances. And I've been talking to a lot of Meath personnel as well, was actually at Nafina's medal presentation on Easter Sunday evening, and we were chatting to the officials as well, and they did feel that they left that game behind them badly. They could have been in the final as a repeat of last year's intermediate final.
Yeah, and what a repeat that would be. But I think certainly, you know, when you're looking at this league at the start of the year, you would have to be seriously looking at Derry to be coming out, certainly to get into a final anyway, and really push on from there if they want to, you know, remain, if they want to be considered a serious contender in the senior status.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for poor Cavan, it does mean that they are in for the drop and they go down. But as we said, great news for Carlow, to be fair. They really have pushed and battled hard. I mean, when you look at it, that they came up against Westmeath and Meath and only lost by a couple of points in each of those games. It has been a fantastic second half of a league campaign for the Carlow women after their troubles as well. But well done to everybody involved in Carlow, and in particular to Meg Condell and to Linda Kenny and all the crew in Carlow Camogie up there. Well done to each and every one of you. And I know you had a great weekend of Féile as well that was taking part there. So it's all good and well done to everybody. But yeah, Westmeath and Derry in the National 2A final. Wexford and Dublin, in the Division 1B final. So that's 3 Leinster teams we have in a league final, which is great to see. And then Tipperary and Galway completing the 1A final. And those finals will take place on the weekend, the 14th of April. I don't think the 2A final is on this weekend coming, is it?
I don't think so.
Do we know for definite? I can't see anything there at the minute. 1A, 2A. No, there's no fixture. Wait, no. Yeah, there's league final 2A. I'm just trying to find it on the page here. And can I find it on the fixture? It is actually down for the 14th, yeah, in Croke Park as well at 12:30. So that is good news. I think we have a triple header in Croke Park that day.
Yeah, that'd be great. Wouldn't it?
Excellent day. Obviously, Congress is coming up this weekend. It is going to be on the 5th and 6th of April in Kildare. It is, of course, Hilda Breslin's last I suppose, hurrah as Oaktheron of Uncommon Camogie, because Brian Molloy is going to be installed as the very first male president of the association, and also I suppose in a time that everything is changing. But there is a lot of debate coming up for us, one of them being the rule changes as well, because it's a playing rules Congress, so we have a lot in it. But there is rules on age grades, the rules again, the score is coming up as well. I didn't, and I should have read through the whole book, but I didn't do the playing rules, so I can't say for definite what they are. But we will be bringing you all the changes next week. But it's going to be an interesting couple of days.
It's also, do you know what? It's actually, because somebody just be tweeting about the rules, I suppose, when they're kind of put in or if they're put forward or whatever the case may be. But it'll be very interesting to see the rule around the skirt. I think it always throws up a bit of debate every year in relation to whether they're going to get rid of it or not.
Okay, come on. What's your opinion on the skirt?
I don't think it makes us hurl any better or any worse, to be honest with you. And I don't think it makes the girls run any faster or any slower, and I think we need to start realistically looking at it and like, what are the players more comfortable in? And that's the way I would be looking at it. I understand some people would say like it's part of the uniform, you know, and that's absolutely fine, I appreciate that, but I think we need to look at what's more comfortable for the players to be playing in as well.
Yeah, well, I just actually have the book here in front of me, so everything is, it looks like it's going to be up for grabs. There's a lot of things on rule changes with membership, coming up about rules with ages, the score is certainly one of them. Different things. A lot of these is all in-house and housekeeping problems. Well, I won't say problems, but there's words being changed here and there, but there is lots of them in it. They're also launching the development plan as well for the next 3 years. Lil, you've been looking through a couple of these.
I've been looking through a couple of them. They're talking about bringing in, while we're trying to get rid of social membership this long lot of years because it causes awful confusion for club registrars, they're now talking about bringing in a social membership, but it's for players who want to play social camogie, as in mamogie and things like that. But I think it needs to be, I read some of it through it, some of it last week. I think they need to be clearer with the wording on it so that people realise what it is. Because sometimes when you have too many options, people will hit the first option and they won't read down through it. The age rule, then, they're talking about changing that adults be over 18. Now, we're after trying that a couple of times, but I think it's causing all sorts of hardship with the split season. So maybe people will cop on and see that it's a good thing that we're losing girls between 18 and 22, because that under 18 rule is still there that they can play.
Well, I'm going to say I completely disagree with you.
I knew you would.
I think we have to take into consideration, okay, what about the small country clubs who are struggling as it is to field teams? And if then you're going to take out basically two age groups away from the opportunity of fielding an adult team, then there's a potential that you won't field an adult team. I think that needs, it's whatever about the town teams or the bigger teams, like they'll probably have the numbers, but like I can tell you now, for the smaller country clubs, they're physically not going to have the numbers to field. Like, they struggle as it is to field juvenile teams. They're getting the bare numbers in, and players do dwindle off every year. And I understand you're going to come at me and say, well, because they're not getting game time, whatever the case may be. But there is also the fact that they are struggling and players do actually step away. So when they actually eventually move on to adult level, like, we're not, because you're gaining players into adult level, you're also losing players who are getting older as well. And I think by upping the age limit, I think that's going to drastically see a demise.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for putting up the age limit now, to be fair. We're losing a tremendous amount of players between 14 and 18 because we're expecting too much of them. They're playing too many grades, and that's part of the reason. The other reason is then we're losing an amount of players between 18 and 22 because they're sitting on the line not getting game time, and the 16 and 17 year olds are getting game time instead of them. So I can see your pros and cons. Mm-hmm. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with you.
Yep.
But I think if we can keep girls playing, that's the main thing. But if you look at juvenile players at the minute, and people forget that there's a dynamic, you know, they're still kids. We're throwing them into adult dressing rooms. The GA, I was at a meeting lately with the GAA, and they didn't have it really until under 19 came in, and now they're seeing a huge dynamic in the dressing room when they have juveniles in an under 19 dressing room, because there's a different conversation, there's a different dynamic with management, because there's more expected out of them. They're adults, but these are still kids coming in, and I just think we just need to look at it and mind our players.
And I completely get where you're coming from. But what happens when we don't have players to field teams?
But you see, I genuinely think the players are there, but they're stepping away because they know they're not going to get game time. And the whole thing is about keeping players playing.
No, and I do get that, and I do appreciate that. Well, I'll tell you what, I have heard a story from a particular club. I'm not going to say which club, and it's not my club, but they are now struggling to get their under 12 players to play with their under 14, which they won't be able to now field an under 14 team without them, because the gradings that they have been put in at championship level. Like, so they're dwindling away at at 12 years of age, because they're getting hammered in under 14 games. So that's, we're losing them there as well. And I get what you're saying, we're going to lose them as we go up, because, you know, girls might be sitting on the sideline, they might be getting game time. But then with girls, I think there's a lot of other factors that come into it when it comes to dwindling away from sports. They all have their social life that they like to, you know, get into, and they all have different sorts of hobbies. But I think we need to look at it from a geographical mind frame as well. If we were to up the age for only 18-year-olds to play at adult level, I think you're going to have an issue with clubs being able to actually field adult teams. I really, really do. And I think you're going to see a lot more clubs looking to be amalgamated.
Well, they're changing the rules on that as well.
Yeah. So what happens now, just say, for example, if I come along next year and the rule is brought in for adults can only play 18 and I only have 14 players that are available to play, what happens? What's the story at our club then?
You can still start a match with 14 and finish it.
Yeah.
For the whole championship season, 14 players. Yeah, I don't think that's right.
Like, no, and I'm only doing that in jest now, by the way. Like, but yeah, look, I don't know. I think
there's
something has...
pros and cons for everybody.
There is pros and cons, 100%.
But we need to... Like, I've had this conversation with Teresa Rowe down through the years, and mm-hmm. Teresa, as we know, is a Roscommon woman, and they wouldn't have huge numbers. And I think she's coming around to my way of thinking, sorry, Teresa, if I'm misquoting you, but we are losing girls and we're putting too much pressure. Like, if you look at the girls, even in our own club setup, who are playing minor, like some of them were able to play under 16, minor and adult last year because they fell into that little hole.
Mm-hmm. And there'll actually be a presentation on this at Congress, because Linda Kenny has chaired a review group.
Good woman, Linda.
And a group that has looked at playing time across the board for underage players and adult players as well, to see how many adults are actually sitting on a sideline when they're bringing younger players in. Mm-hmm. And the players are then being left there. So that's not fair on an adult. I mean, they're there as much. They want to enjoy it. They want game time. And it's all right in saying, oh, well, there's other games, like you have an All County League or you have a Summer League or whatever you want to mm-hmm. call them, kind of a league mm-hmm. for them players. But the reality is that some of the coaches out there are not playing those girls, and they will bring on an under 16 or an 18 player before someone who may not be, we'll say, of the same ability as you or somebody else that's on the pitch. Just because they want to win a game.
They want to win a game. And this came up at a children's officers meeting in Portlaoise before Christmas. And I was sitting beside a lovely man from County Down. I can't remember his name, but I know him from going to all of these because he's children's officer like myself quite a while. But they have a policy up there where every child or every player has to start a minimum of 2 matches every year. Now, take championship out of it mm-hmm. because championships are for win and we're going to put out our best 15 for championship match. But the rule up there is that every player has to start at least 2 matches. Mm-hmm. We have a plethora of league matches, challenge matches, blitz matches, whatever you like to do, whatever way you get your training in. Mm-hmm. Start them. give them a chance and see what'll happen, because bringing them in for 2 or 3 minutes at the end of a match is token. Kids aren't stupid. They know that they're only being brought in.
It's not even kids, Lil. I mean, it's young adults
and it's adults.
And I can see your point of view as well, coming from a small country club myself, because I know how difficult it is. And I mean, if we were to go down that route, we are amalgamated at the minute because we had no choice.
Yeah.
We don't have the playing numbers. I mean, while our boys may flourish, and we have a couple of age groups at the minute that are struggling a little bit because there has been a lull there and we didn't get as many boys. We did get a good group of girls, surprisingly enough, like in the couple of years that the boys went sparse on us. But if that did pass and it did come in, we would severely be affected by it.
I think
the problem with it is you're burning players out, and I can see that as well, because the same players are playing on your under 16 team, your minor team, and your adult team, and everybody's looking for them to train, everybody's looking for them to play matches. You're still playing schools games if you're lucky enough to be on a schools team, playing right from September when the schools start up until February. You're then starting your league games from late February, early March possibly, because we have started under 16s already, right all the way through. And if you're lucky enough to be in a club, even a junior team that's struggling with numbers to get to a county final, you're playing right up until September, October, and then you're repeating yourself.
For the past 2 or 3 years, and they haven't had a break the whole round of the year for the past 2 or 3 years, because they're going from A to B to C and back to A again. And we can't have that continue, because and another thing that's cropping up a bit, good bit, that I'm seeing at the minute, and that's purely from children's officers' point of view, clubs aren't keeping their paperwork. They're not keeping their attendance records. They're not keeping their match stats and knowing who they brought on and how long they were brought on for, or how many times they started a match, or how many, do you know, that's all relevant information. And it needs to be kept in. The amount of clubs that I go around to that I have seen, and they're looking, they're, you can see, I know from the expressions on their faces, they're not keeping it. That's all valuable information. You need to keep all of that information.
Well, either way, there certainly is pros and cons to both of it. Is. I know that there's going to be a lot of the smaller clubs that's going doing it, but Linda's presentation will certainly swing it either way to see like how many players is potentially being lost out, what age groups they are being lost out on. And it, the main focus is to keep girls playing, because that's what we want.
Yeah, 100%. But I do think then, like, I I'm not disagreeing. My opinion is I would hate to see it happen, because I genuinely don't know if we'd be able to field a team. I can only go on my club, right? I can't speak for everybody else's club. But I would imagine small country clubs would be in the same situation. I then think, yeah, if we're playing like girls that are 16, 17, and they are playing like under 16 and minor, and then obviously with your adult team, I then think then the management from each of those teams need to sit down and come up with a plan. I think that's their responsibility to make sure that the players aren't being burnt out throughout the year. I think they need to come up and sit with a plan.
Yeah, but I think it doesn't just need to be management. It needs to be management and club executive, because managers want to win matches. They're going to put out their best 15 regardless, and they're not going to give a hoot whether you started a match, you finished a match. As long as they're winning matches, they're not going to care. But we're burning girls out, and they hit college then, and it's great.
Yeah,
they're away.
We'll have to wait and see, because if it does pass or doesn't pass, I think it's something that maybe we can debate on. And I mean, I would even love, and I know Linda listens to us as well, to see after Congress with her report when it does come out, to actually have her here. And we see if we can have a debate about it as to why we're losing players, or why the country teams can't field teams, etc. But it's certainly going to be an interesting battle. I do know that the playing roads are going to start in motion 48. Of mother of God, we're going to be busy at the weekend with motions, I can tell you. But motion 48 is obviously the age group participating one. Motion 49... if I can find it, is somewhere gone on me. It probably pertains to that as well. Motion 50 is in relation to what I would class as a HIA, head injury assessment, or the concussion test. Now, I'm not going to read out the whole rule in whatever it is.
It's pretty long now.
It is. I have concerns about that. Unless you're a referee that's in the medical profession.
You're not going to be qualified.
I can see problems around that. But anyway,
51 is a new rule.
52 is in relation to. No, it's not. It's just playing gear. 53 then is in relation to shorts and skirts. And I do see that there's a couple of counties that put this in. So Meath has one in.
It might actually succeed this year.
It's a possibility. I can't see 51. What is 51?
51 is...
Oh, sorry, 51 is the HIA. Player,
yeah, that's a new rule.
Yeah, so that this is why they put the Ard Comhairle one first. So if 50 passes... They can't.
51 is out of order.
Do 51, but I could be stand corrected on that one. Yeah, there is a couple there with the shorts wanting to change the skirts to shorts. I'm just going down here. We definitely have four or five shorts or skirts.
After 25 years of fighting for it, it might actually.
I mean,
pass this
Kerry
time.
Has it in. Tipperary has it in. Meath has it in. There's lots of counties actually has it in. 57 is a new rule there about playing gear, just the penalties on it. 58 is in relation to
banding.
Jewelries and banding of hurls, yeah. etc. I'm not really seeing much when it comes down then to the playing rules itself.
They're down further.
Are they?
Yeah, I came across them a minute ago there.
Here we go. So, hand passing. Yes, this is coming into it.
What
so,
rule are you on?
I'm coming down to motion 65 now at the minute. So, the hand passing is looking for a player must demonstrate a clear striking action with the hand for the hand pass. That's pretty self-explanatory in all fairness. But anyway, and that is also in, there's a couple of clear striking motion ones in there from... one from Ard Comhairle, a couple there from Ard Comhairle. Rule 67 then is in relation to deliberately shoulder to shoulder, deliberately shoulder an opponent unless it is shoulder to shoulder. I don't know. I think if they just want to bring in the contact, that needs to be just changed because there's so much of a grey area in it. A lot of these, by the way, is... just housekeeping things. There is persistent fouling is coming in as well. So that is there. I'm just scrolling through them here now as we have it. So during a period, if a foul is committed by a player who has been awarded advantage, then the advantage is cancelled and the relevant sanction awarded to the opposition. So there's all little bits in it. I don't really see too many rule changes as such when it comes to it. What is this one? This is a attacking player free to the defending player where the foul occurred. Player defending the penalty must not move forward until the slitter has been struck. Okay, we are moving this then from 10 metres to actually 20 metres now for Camogie because it used to be only 10 metres away from a free.
Is that
so,
rule 72 you're looking at?
It could be. Janie McNamara going right up to the very top of the page, now back up to the motions. Yeah.
Oh, no, I see it. It's 70. It's rule 70 we're looking at. But rule 72 then?
I'm coming into 73. So if the slitter crosses the sideline inside the four. Okay, so this one, we actually saw this in the Tipperary game and we were wondering. So they're going to bring in this one that if the slitter crosses the sideline inside the 45 metre line nearest their own goal line, they can take the sideline out of their hand, but if it's outside the 45 metre line, they can't do so. A player has to be 10 metres away from it in Camogie, which I think is going to stay the same. There's a lot of red writing on this rule here, a couple coming in and they seem to be all from Ard Comhairle. When taking the sideline puck from the hand, if a player takes it from the wrong place, the referee may award a throw-in. So, I mean, that's just a sanction for it. If a player deliberately delays a puck out, the referee will cancel the puck out and award a 45-metre free to the attacking team. So that used to be just that he'd add on time. So now if they're deliberately delaying a puck out, it's going to be a 45. Like,
yeah. I feel like we're just completely changing the whole game.
Okay, so that's all the playing. I mean, we have 77 motions that we have to deal with over the weekend. Like, I mean, this is... Actually, I'm wrong.
No,
because
you're wrong because
now
you're
we have
going to
discipline
the disciplinary
issues,
guide, yeah.
83. This is all in relation to 86.
There's 87 motions to deal with.
Holy God almighty. But look, I think you're right when it comes to the playing rules. I mean, we want the game faster. We want the game a little bit more physical when it comes to it. But I can tell you now from a refereeing point of view that with the amount of changes that's coming in between Gaelic football...
No wonder you can't get referees.
There's new hurling rules coming in now as well. Yeah. I mean, when this comes in, if you have concussion and sidelines and the whole lot into it... Oh, I don't know. My head is... Like looking at that, my head is just exploding now.
Do you know what it is? You're going to nearly want two referees on the field. One for each half.
Well, they're suggesting that for football at the minute.
For football, yeah.
Like, I just, do you know what? I just feel like we're just changing the rules over and over and over. Like, I'm not a fan of taking the free out of your hand. I understand it speeds up the game and some players absolutely love it. I'm just so glad I don't play camogie anymore because I just wouldn't be able to keep up with the rules. I really, really wouldn't. I just think we're changing the rules
for the sake of changing them sometimes. Yeah.
But like this rule of, you know, taking if a sideline within your own 45 and taking it out of your hand, like I've seen it once.
That's all. The Tipperary game
and
is
like,
all.
I just... What's the need for it?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't
like taking the free out of your hand, to me, that was just an insult.
I can understand.
You can't hit it that far.
No, but I can understand.
But it quickens it up.
I can.
It does quicken it up, but I'm sorry. Like, why are we changing? Why are we changing all the rules in our game? Like,
no, but that one I don't
mind. Time, it's
and
going
I know
to be a completely different game.
Yeah, but we're going to argue on this one. I know you don't agree, which is I do. I think it's nice. I don't see an issue either with the goalkeeper coming out and taking a free outside the large square with her own goalie hurl. Like, so
no,
what if it's a little bit
she's
bigger
using throughout the whole game?
Yeah, but she can't. She has to go back in and change it. And I mean, Owen Murphy can come up the field in a hurling match, take a penalty with a 40-inch bloody frying pan.
Well, you see, Martin,
if he
I
wants
think that's
to,
what annoys people a bit about the rules. They're the same game. But some of the rules are so completely different that it doesn't make sense.
No.
And likewise...
But I would like to know, who... And I shouldn't really be saying these things either now with the position that I'm in, but like, if there is...
But it
does baffle me sometimes. Like, I mean, do they sit down with the players? Is there a group of players within the GPA that says, yes, actually, I know what we'd like to do. We'd like to take a 45 out of our hand if it's inside our own place. I mean,
you're dead right. And I would love if, say, every county in Ireland had maybe 4 or 5 players that met with Congress to discuss these playing rules, because I think at the end of the day, who is it affecting? It's affecting the players. And I think that would be really, really important, and it'd be really good to see their, like, I'm just giving my opinions, but like the girls that are actually playing the game might have a completely different opinion, but like I think it would be good to see the actual players' opinion and not
and,
people who
and
aren't
players
playing.
For the codes in question, not players from other codes who have no knowledge of playing the game.
And I don't actually know who came up with these playing rules at all, or who was on the forum or the review committee to deal with it. Like, but I just wonder, are we losing touch with the grassroots level, like, when it comes to this? Because, okay, the one out of your hand, I can understand it, especially if you're underage at 12 or 14 and there's a big gale in it and you can't get a ball past your own 45 metre line. And I've often been at matches that you're planted inside between the 45 and the 21 because the ball just does not come out of it if there's a gale of wind blowing in it. So I can understand that. I can understand the quick puck. To me, actually, the quick puck out one was the best one that they brought in because it does quicken it up and you don't have to be waiting around. And I think actually the GAA should follow suit and bring that one in as well. The hand passing one, I mean, we've said it several times, the hand passes has gone ridiculous at this stage. It's the same in the GAA. You don't know whether they are legitimate or whether they're not. I mean, the sideline puck for the 2 points is fantastic. Yep. Great rule.
I think that's a skill in itself.
Yes, and people are doing it, and I don't think we've actually seen one live, have we yet?
We did. Remember, we did in
Nolan Park. Somebody did it. Yes, once ever though, I've only seen it being done.
Galway last year.
Galway,
Rebecca
last
Hanley,
year.
No,
was it Rebecca?
Yeah, what's it?
I know Andy Larkin was refereeing it because the umpire put out his hands and Lil thought that he was waving a wide.
I did, because I had never seen them. Yeah.
We didn't know then with the scoreboard, etc. But some of the rule changes have been good. Some of them
have
not
been
so
ridiculous.
Good. The couple that's coming in now, and I will have to wait and judge and give a time to see, but I still think we are losing touch at grassroots level and we should be asking. Now,
I mean, they did ask, in fairness, for submissions for this. Maybe coaches are sending this in as well for underage players. Again, that sidelines and that can't be taken and they want to be able to allow take them out of their hand. It's a possibility.
Right, that's fine. Do it up to a certain age then.
He can't
do that either because that makes a mess of the whole thing.
Hold on now. I mean, we're bad enough. I mean, the playing rules book is what, 40 something pages long with rules in it. The GAA one is 100 and something pages long. The LGFA one is twice as long with different ones. And you want me now to come along and try and, like every other referee,
to
pick up? Because this is an under 12 or an under 14 game, and
a big birthday recently. Janie Mac, putting too much pressure on.
Well, I think there's enough pressure being put on referees at the minute.
Absolutely.
Anyway, like with all the rule changes.
But then, like, there is another argument. How are you going to get how are you going to encourage referees when the rules are changing every year?
We can't encourage them at the minute. You know,
this is it. Like, I don't know. These are just my opinions, not the opinions of anybody else. They're just mine.
Well, we'll have to wait.
We're all entitled to our opinions, Anya.
We are. We'll have to wait and see how Congress goes, but it is on over the weekend. Two of us will be there anyway. I think you're going to Congress, are you?
I am. I've never been to Congress before, so I decided maybe it might be an idea to go and have a look and see what goes on.
And she decides to come to a one with 87 motions in it.
Yeah, it wasn't fierce well thought out, but I didn't know there was going to be 87 motions at the time.
Bring the back pillar. That I or some sort of a cushion or something to put on the seat.
I know, I'll do my usual. I lie in the corner.
Well, you could do that too. Yeah, but no. Look, all these things, and Congress is the place to deal with them.
I'm looking forward to Friday night. Actually, there's a strategic plan meeting on Friday night, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I don't know. Linda's definitely giving her presentation some of the nights. And I can't actually think of which night it is, but I'm looking forward to that as well. I've read Linda's report. It's actually quite interesting. I can't say what's in it,
because I do think it's something we're just going to have to look at, like the amount of clubs that are losing. I had one club between 2016 and 2020 lost 15 players and didn't know why they'd lost them between 14 and 18. Like 15 players is a team, basically.
It is. And I'm just actually at remembering, because I'm looking at a screen here in front of me now, when I was chatting all things in relation to the National League game, I actually got reaction from the Waterford game from different parties. And I know I was talking to Chap Clear earlier on.
You forgot to play them, didn't you?
And it's me. I'm looking at them here now and I forgot to play them when I was doing it. So while we take a moment break here to have an argument off air about all things that's going to happen
at
Congress. We don't have any sticks in the building. That's the good thing. I managed to catch up with Brianna O'Reilly. Now, poor Brianna, I felt sorry for her, because in the tunnel in SCTU Arena, I actually asked a different Waterford player, and I won't mention who the Waterford player was, but Brianna was coming in behind me and they were like, "Ah, no, Brianna will talk, she's great at it." And poor Brianna got caught with my phone to have a chat with me, but she's a great girl as well. And here's what she had to say to me afterwards.
Again, it looks like you drew the short straw. Beth has gone running off. Cracking game between yourself and Kilkenny out here in the SCTU Arena today. Maybe not the result that you were hoping for.
Yeah, Martin, I swear to God she's going to get one in a minute. But yeah, no, look, we just didn't perform well and our shots weren't going off. And look, maybe another day we would have clicked, but unfortunately today wasn't to be.
How important has the league been for yourselves? Because like a lot of people, ye now have a new manager and Jerry being in as well with ye this year. He like the Kilkenny new manager, trying different things as well. So how important has the league been for the likes of himself and his backroom team?
Yeah, I suppose he didn't know what he was expecting coming down, and he brought great management with him. And I suppose you have to try new things and different players in different positions, and he has. And we're still up in 1A next year, and I suppose when you have that behind your back, you just need to try players. And it's the league, so yeah, no, he definitely brought that determination and stuff with him as well.
The league is obviously important as well for yourselves going into the Munster Championship, building a bit of momentum before the All-Ireland Series, because the All-Ireland Series is the one that everyone wants to win. How important is it for yourselves to try and get back to the Holy Grail of Croke Park again this year?
Yeah, look, we just probably want to take one game at a time, and I've been saying that since the start of the year. And look, our aim is to get back to a semi-final and see how we can get on from there. But look, yeah, no, it would be great to walk out in Croke Park again and right the wrongs right. So yeah, no, look, we just take each game as it comes.
Kilkenny and Waterford always bring a special rivalry to one another. It brings out the best in both teams as well, and that was another classic out there today.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's in women's and in her and in the men's hurling, but yeah, no, it's two great teams going at it for 60 minutes, and look, you just don't know what to expect when Waterford are playing Kilkenny in both male and female. So yeah, no, two, cracking game. Yeah,
thanks a million for having a chat, and you can go kill Bet now.
Hi, killer. Yeah, thanks.
And I can't answer that question whether Beth was or not killed after the game, but I don't think she was because she passed me in the hall afterwards smiling away to herself having got out of the interview. But thanks to Brianna for that. I also managed to catch up with Kilkenny players Miriam Bambrick and Aoife Prendergast, and here's what the two women had to say to me afterwards.
Aoife Prendergast, Miriam Bambrick, congratulations, great victory over Waterford in the last round of the league. Miriam, I'll start with you. How important was that victory today?
It was very important to come down here and put in a good performance, like to finish off the league on a high note. I suppose maybe the league hasn't gone exactly the way we wanted, but we just wanted to come down today, put in a good performance, and I suppose getting a win on top of that was a bonus.
The work rate by all of the players today, right from the word go, was exceptional, and it was a perfect team performance, you could nearly say.
Far from perfect now, but no, yeah, the work rate was phenomenal. I suppose that's something that we just decided today, that we were, work rate was the main thing, and you know, I suppose the scores and all that comes after. So it's putting in the hard slog, 1-15. You see Caoimhe Kerr-Murtagh coming off the bench there, I think she scored 2 goals. So you know, it was right throughout the panel, work hard and try and get the result.
For yourselves in the back line, when you're up against the likes of Niamh Rockett and Beth Carton, two prolific scorers as well, the back's done very well, to be fair to them.
Yeah, look, I suppose they have some household names, but I suppose I trust every girl that's in a black and amber jersey to mark anyone in the country. So you know, we just had to ground it out, and that's it really. Yeah,
and you had a good game yourself, to be fair.
Jeez, I don't know about that now, Martin.
Aoife Prendergast, another player who had a very good game, well done, great performance again Waterford today. I suppose the old rivalry, you always get a decent match, and that was a fantastic game out there today.
Yeah, look, it was a dogfight throughout the field, and all the girls worked really, really hard, and that's what we had to do today. As Miriam said, we came down here focusing on getting a performance as a team, and that's what we're all about this year, just grinding games out and getting a performance as a team.
I suppose, as Miriam said, the league may not have went the way that people might have thought it was going to go last weekend. I suppose it was a bad day for everyone around, but you came back down today and you've answered a lot of critics, because last week they said performance wasn't great, but that was an exceptional performance today.
Yeah, look, Martin, we're going to focus on ourselves and just not mind anyone out there that's writing us off this time of year. We knew ourselves after the tip match we didn't get the performance that we wanted, but we knew it was in us, and look, today isn't the last of that. We need to drive this on now and keep these performances going forward. But yeah, look, everyone's writing us off now, and we're just going to focus on ourselves, and the belief is going to be in our dressing room.
And a wounded kitten is a very dangerous one.
Yeah, sure, we'll see how it goes.
Come here to me. You have a nice mix of blend, but you're also bringing on a lot of new players as well onto the team this year. Obviously Chappa's coming in, and he's trying to put his own stamp on things, his own style of play, etc., and you're after using a lot of players in that league. How important is it to give players, fringe players, game time, especially in those kind of games?
Yeah, look, Martin, there's no one on the edge of this panel now. We're all in it together, and even girls starting new onto this panel, they're fighting for positions. There's a few girls starting week in, week out, and look, anyone that puts on the black and amber jersey is deserving of it, and Chap and the lads, we've really bonded over the last few weeks, and hopefully we can continue that going forward.
Aoife Prendergast, Miriam Bambrick, great win today, well done, and best of luck in the Leinster Championship.
Thanks,
yeah, I don't know how I managed to forget them. I was just looking at a computer screen here and I'm looking up at the names and I'm like, shite, I forgot to play that earlier on. But you're
old age, I would say.
Old age me cantankerous. Yeah. Anyway, that much about wraps us up here from episode 10 here in the KCLR studios this evening. It has been fun. I always like debate. I'd like more debate. So, you know, we should try and get more debates going with different things. And see, I'm looking over at my producer now to get a debate going the next evening, so we can see if we can,
I'm well able to debate,
we can see if we can sort that out. But my thank you, Lillian, as always, for your hard work and dedication to us. And
what are you looking for?
Not a thing. Well, I am actually. So yeah. you're going trying that out for me tomorrow, and I can't say what it is on this either because other people will hear it. Anya, thank you so much. I know you're a busy lady and you're off to another meeting there now, but I know you had a birthday party for little Katie as well last week because we did say it that you were missing on us. Had you fun?
We had great fun all together. It was absolutely brilliant. She was super excited. So yeah, it went off without a hitch. So great.
And how was Farlow and Olaf?
Fantastic. A natural. An absolute natural.
For anyone that don't, for
I'm
anybody that don't know,
him out.
For anybody don't know, Anya showed us a photograph here 2 weeks ago because little Katie was looking for Olaf and loves Frozen. So Anya's husband found this blow up that is inflatable, but it actually, it's like a little fan or something in it that kept the Olaf suit inflated with a light on inside in it, and it was just, it was so unreal. But anyway, fair play to Farlow for doing it. If he had to go and serve a few pints behind the bar, you know, I'd say he'd have knocked half of the bar around him. But once Katie was happy, that's all that matters. Isn't that right, Anya?
That's it, exactly. As long as she's happy, we don't care.
Anyway, that's good that she had a good time with that. So hopefully she enjoyed herself. And like everything else, that our thoughts are still with everybody there as well. And so are all our prayers still. From ourselves here in the studio in Kilkenny, we will have a report on Congress next week. When we're done, we will be previewing the league finals as well coming up because they are on Sunday week in Croke Park. Triple header. We'll probably be there at them, the Come On Kind crew, because we always bring you the live action from them. But for the time being, from Lillian, from Anya and myself, Martin Quilty here in the KCLR studios, it's goodbye from us all. Bye.
Thank you, bye.
This is Come On Kind with Martin Quilty and Anya Fahey.